Hi, this is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I am here at the pro athlete community with two professional athletes themselves, at least somewhat, and as we're moving forward. But this community is essential. It's so exciting to be here because nothing happens unless you have a community of people, a culture of people. It's more than just a company of people. And both of you utilize culture and community to effectuate what you do, how you do, and who you do business with. And so I want to introduce Alex McDonald and Matt Smith together. Alex, welcome to
the
Playbook.
Great to be on.
And my friend Matt, welcome as well.
Thank you, David.
So both of you have a different type of evolution towards business. Give me an idea of what skills, knowledge, and desire that you've utilized from sports into your businesses today.
I think Matt can give the sports background.
Yeah.
You've got the best odds.
Well, being one of the most famous footballers is probably good.
So, you know, from my perspective, I was always intrigued. So I moved into the investment world and particularly the private markets when I turned about 24, 25. And it was really led by curiosity. I always was really fascinated with the crossover of mindset between founders and athletes. You know, I think there's a tremendous amount of crossover. I think they share a significant amount of the same traits in terms of the ability to defy the odds and what comes with that, the sacrifice and the dedication, the grit and the, you know, overcoming self-doubt and external doubt. So for me, I was kind of always excited to explore that. And I think my first steps into the kind of private markets were primarily driven through curiosity as opposed to like an insanely big desire to make big financial returns.
I was a below average college football player, but I learned more from being a below average college football player about business and life than anything else I did. So although you may not be Matt, I do want you to touch on the importance of athletic sports, your background, because everybody has been influenced or impacted from their own personal experience.
Yeah, look, firstly, sport is the pinnacle of culture today, and it's above music, it's above Hollywood, it's the very pinnacle of culture, and everything flows downstream from sport.
It's the only real TV, right? The only reality TV.
Now
it's the first and only.
It's great, and it's continuing to grow in influence, right? It's not just reached the top and stopped, it's reached the top and grown. You know, as when I was a kid, look, I was never at Matt's level as an athlete. I did ski a lot as a kid. I did train with the GB ski team doing half pipe, but I was never competitive, never a professional athlete. But I think a lot of the mindset, you know, I always wanted to start a company from a young age, and I liked building products and software. And I think a lot of the mindset that makes you successful as an entrepreneur is very similar to the mindset that makes successful professional athletes. You have to have a level of discipline, you know, in order to train and prepare well. You have to have like a mindset and a character where you have resilience, right? When you get knocked down or when you lose or when something doesn't go your way, you have to be able to pick yourself back up and start again. And, you know, and even the most successful companies in the world, that journey is a roller coaster, right? Even the Ubers and Airbnbs, it's not straight up to the stars. There are days where they almost die, and there are days where thousands of jobs are at risk, and they have to turn those, you know, very tough situations into diamonds, right? And I think a lot of the mindset that athletes have when they're preparing for games, when they're, you know, when they lose ultimately, which they do lose, right? Ultimately, they, even the very best athletes from the GOATs like Tom Brady and Lionel Messi have days where they lose, right? And how they pick themselves up off those situations creates really strong characters. And ultimately, that's why we see, you know, we named our company Sequel, and we're an investment platform. But the reason we named it Sequel is, you know, similar to Matt, like professional athletes have a certain first career in sport, right, which will last a certain number of years, but ultimately they all have to do something else after sport, right? And ultimately the mindset they have and those mental characteristics around resilience and discipline, being prepared, you know, ability to work well in a team and communicate well, those are exactly the traits you look for in successful entrepreneurs, right? And so, you know, whilst I never reached the heights of Matt of getting a professional contract, I think a lot of those, like the mindset I had as a kid and starting my first, you know, I started my first companies when I was a teenager, right? I was building games and software you know, and selling CDs in school, and you know, and through to starting my first software company in my 20s. I think those that mindset and the discipline I had, as a lot of those characteristics come from playing sport as a kid, right?
A lot of people will talk about the discipline and the determination. I've, you know, run the most notable sports agency in the world, one of the most in America, well, global sports marketing company with Warren Moon. And so I've been around the billionaires, the millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers, and they all are disciplined and determined. But I think what separates the great entrepreneurs and billionaires and these athletes and celebrities that are next level world famous is devotion.
100%.
And they have a desire that they must be what they can be. Mm-hmm. And this can be developed. And so I was curious with both of you, because as a great investor and entrepreneur and athlete and business person, there's days where there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary that we're ever going to get to where we are. And if you're not devotional, you're going to quit. How has devotion, your faith, played an integral role with your discipline and determination?
Everything for me. You know, I would openly say I had very limited talent, like pure God-given talent as a footballer. But what I did have was extreme high-level work ethic and a desire to constantly want to improve. I'm a big believer in the 1% and the incremental benefit that can bring. So just kind of trying to go above and beyond with what it took to try and get to a level that I thought that I could sustain. And it's interesting what you say about what separates the extreme winners from those who kind of sit below that tier. And for me, devotion is exactly that. So I started in the very lower echelons of English football and kind of made my way up through the tiers. And for me, one of the big things, it was always a fascination of how are these guys at this level? What are they doing? You know, are they just supremely talented? But the big thing that stood out like a sore thumb was the level of professionalism and devotion they gave to their craft. You know, when I first went to Leeds, it was my first kind of real seismic shift from the club that I'd been at previously to one of the great football clubs of England. It was, wow, these guys work hard. Like, first and foremost, these guys are in the gym before training. They're in the gym after training. They're in training early. They leave training late. They eat the right things. There's no let up with everything that they're doing. And stuff that you kind of just, you don't see, you know, it's not at the lights at Ellen Road or, you know, in the stadium lights. They're the things that go on behind the scenes. And yeah, devotion for me is undoubtedly one of the biggest traits that I certainly noticed with the guys performing at the top end of the tree.
Yeah, it's amazing at every level, even in business, that you deem people to have certain skill, knowledge, luck, born into some family office. But the top people are the first ones in and the last ones to leave. And invariably, if anybody's played basketball, LeBron James or other Kobe Bryant, I think the rookies that I've represented and worked with, when either they got traded or drafted to a team with one of these guys, they were amazed because their first day they thought, oh, I'm going to be the first one in.
Yeah.
And there was LeBron James or there was Kobe Bryant or there was Michael Jordan already broke a sweat.
100%. Yeah, look, there's this notion or there's this phrase that people use, work smarter, not harder. And the answer is no, you need to do both.
You need to work
smarter and harder, right? Because if you're not, I guarantee you someone else will be, right? And so you need to do both. You can't let up on things. And I think for a lot of people, that devotion, some of it can be intrinsic and internal. I think for a lot of people, it's external as well, right? They have to be working towards a vision that they have of themselves or something that they have for their family, right? Like, I know your family's a big motivator for you. And in fact, really good film, Project Hail Mary. One of the best lines in that film.
Oh my God, I love that
movie. One of the best lines in that film is Ryan Gosling goes to one of the other astronauts. You've really got the bravery gene. And he goes, there's no such thing as a bravery gene. You just need someone to be brave for, right? And I think a lot of like athletes and people in business, they have a vision or they have something they want to get to and they're trying to do it for someone. It may be for their parents. It may be for your dad, who I know Matt's dad, whenever I went to see his games, was always there driving hundreds, if not thousands of miles to come and see him play every time. You know, it may be your childhood friend who helped you get to where you are. It may be your wife or your kids. But I think having that external intrinsic, you know, someone who you're trying to do something for, I think is a big part of creating that devotion to your craft, whatever your craft is.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do a lot of executive coaching with some of the biggest chairmen and CEOs in the world. And they have, even at that level, a very difficult time not getting caught into an emotional attachment to an outcome. I'll be happy when. And as you know, in sports and in business, that you'll never be happy if you'll be happy when. It's for the people that you say, for the sake of what? And teaching people to ask that question is an important part of success.
So when I sold my first company 3 years ago, and you know, you build up towards this moment, and I also manage this community.
And a lot of times it's the worst moment of your life a week later, right?
Yeah. So I manage a community as well of 5,000 founders who sold their companies, right? And everyone goes through this same process. And in many ways, it's similar to athletes at the end of their careers retiring, their first career. They have a sense of identity, like they lose their identity, right? And they, because their identity was so caught up in what they did, that they have like, they go almost through an existential crisis. And there are like 7 stages of mourning that I see with these founders, same with athletes. And so, yeah, look, you know, the outcome, it's all about the journey. And like, I'm trying to compete with myself, right? Like, how can I continue to improve and just every day get better and better at decision-making or health or whatever it is? And, you know, as long as you keep doing that and keep improving and work towards that continuous improvement and growth mindset, I think you'll end up much more, I wouldn't say happy, but fulfilled.
Well, it's the concept of the pursuit of happiness. For me, it's the happiness of the pursuit, you know? It's that journey for me is the differentiator. And it's only when you get a bit older and you're kind of out of the mud that I kind of reflect and say, actually, the most joyous moments for me as a professional were doing all those extra sessions, was working hard in the gym, was getting a sweat on with the other 20 guys that I was working with, like those like crisis meetings and trying to pull yourself out the trenches. Like all those low points in reflection were actually, you know, big character building moments. They were the reason why you keep doing what you're doing. I think sometimes you can get your head caught in the clouds with, I want to achieve X, or I'm going, like you say, I want to be happy if I do this. But actually, it's everything that comes with it to achieve those goals that are the best parts of being in the realm of pro sport and business, you know?
Absolutely. And things happen very slowly and all of a sudden. And you see that in business. And even if you had success at a young age, you started at a younger age.
Yes.
And people will never credit all the different work that you do. One of the attributes of success, and this is what I learned by playing college football. As I mentioned, I was a below average college football player. But what I learned, and I love American football. I love American football. My business partner is the only Black quarterback in the Hall of Fame, Warren Moon. I represented 8 first picks in a row. Everything about the game I love, but to learn to love what I didn't like or love about what I loved. Because when you're sitting on the bench, you're getting your butt kicked because you're really not as good as everybody else on the team. You weigh 147 pounds. You're just fast. It took a lot. And nothing else have I done in my life was so difficult to learn to love because I love football so much. Yeah. And the greatest benefit I had in my life is I taught my wife to learn to love what she doesn't like or love about what she loves the most. I've been married 28 years because of it.
I'm going to use that one.
Well, you got to learn to love this about me. I snore.
100%,
but
absolutely.
For you, what's the one thing in business or business and in sports that was the most difficult part to learn to love about what you were loving?
I think that, like you say, is the element of rejection that comes with sport is being told you're on the bench, you're not going to play this week, you know, you're going to be a bit part in this game week, which is the most frustrating thing. You know, you train your hardest Monday to Friday, certainly in soccer in England, you train your hardest Monday to Friday, and your reward and your relief is to go out on a Saturday and try and perform. And if you're told, right, you're going to be on the bench this week, you might not even come on. That was undoubtedly the hardest part. And for me, it's having the professionalism to double down on your principles in those moments and go harder and stronger to try and force your way into the team. Because you can go totally the other way and say, you know what, I don't believe in the manager's decision, not for me. And you kind of sulk and moan. Learning to love the process of doubling down on your principles in those dark times undoubtedly is the thing that for me was where I could have, like, it could have been make or break. And
yeah, it's especially tough as a professional when you're not playing, because there's so many people in your life that think so highly of you, right? And you take on this expectation, but there's varying degrees. You know, I represented the Pro Football Hall of Fame in America, and even in the Hall of Fame in America, there's different levels of people in the Hall of Fame. Like, they look up to these players and these players, and there's different levels. So it was like really difficult in their own reality that here so many people see them as a Hall of Famer, but they're not Joe Montana, you know, or Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think it's like that, almost like that Keeping Up with the Joneses. You get to it, everything seems relative to the line you're at, you know. If you'd have asked, you know, if I'd have asked my 20-year-old self, you're going to be on the bench for one of the biggest clubs in England, I'd probably snap your hand off. But in that moment, right, I would be like, actually, I'm really upset. Yeah, I'm really upset. I'm not playing. I'm furious. You know, you just kind of always compare yourself to, there's always another level, another run.
There's two sides to it, right? It's like, desire is ultimately the source of all human suffering, but also all human progress, right? And that desire is what leads us to have those feelings, right? And for me, I think probably the hardest part was initially people saying no. Like when you start off as an entrepreneur, and
you get a lot of no's.
You get a fuck ton of no's, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And if you've had some success in your previous career and suddenly you're in this space and people are saying no all the time, like customers, investors, like, fuck, this is difficult. But actually, that was so jarring for me that it became very internalized, right? Yeah. And by the way, I don't remember any of the yeses I had as a first-time entrepreneur in terms of investors. I don't remember any of the yeses. I remember every single no vividly. And I still remember when I sold my first company and the thank you thing, my thank you kind of announcement. So, you know, thank my friends, my family, my team, my investors. But I especially want to thank all the naysayers, the doubters, the haters, because literally they fueled every fucking minute of the journey, right?
And that's awesome.
The moments where it's really tough, I came to realize I relied on those no's to get me through the moments. You know, that guy who said, you are never going to build this into a big business or this product's like a niche. Like, those are the things that I look to rather than positive reinforcement in the tough times, right? So I learned to love that.
I love that. I had the opposite experience once again in dating. I forgot all the no's and I just remember that one yes 28 years later. Fucking luckiest yes I've ever gotten. And I am definitely not ashamed of one of those guys. I love being married. I love my wife. I'm probably one of the few middle-aged men that touts how awesome married to the right person. Coming to a close, we were talking about the Hall of Fame. And I came to a part of my life where I realized I was not going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but I want to be in a Hall of Fame for a part of my life. And it's a weird part, but I think it has the most impact. I want to be in the Hall of Fame of sleep. I think sleep's one of the most underrated things that can provide great performance beyond recovery, access to information. I've had a sleep coach for 18 years.
Wow.
And I joke around that I want to be in the Hall of Fame of sleep. If you can't be in the Hall of Fame for your favorite sport, what would you like to be in the Hall of Fame for, Matt?
Probably being a dad, I would say.
Very good.
It's been the biggest life change. So,
how many kids do you have?
Three. I have three boys. I mean,
three girls and a boy.
There you go. So, yeah, I will never be in the Hall of Fame for sleep. That's for sure. You can speak to my four-year-old son if you want.
Right.
But yeah, for me, that's certainly been the biggest life shift, perspective shift that I've had. I was a single guy. When I say single, I mean no kids. For much of my 20s, you know, I had very few responsibilities in the real sense, you know.
Yeah.
But certainly coming into my 30s, having boys, like, it just changes the way you view every aspect of your life, your decision making, your purpose, your drive, what you're doing things for. So yeah, everything I do, I think, is shaped with wanting to be the best version of myself for them, to give them the best opportunities. So yeah, that would be my
beautiful answer.
I can't use the same one. I don't have kids yet, but I definitely want to.
My kids are gonna watch this and be like, "Fuck you, Dad."
I'm gonna give almost the opposite one to you, David. So mine is, look, there's a lot of people out there now who are optimizing for living their longest possible lives. And I can understand that. You have Brian Johnson and like, sleep is an important part of that, right? Like, being healthy. Like, ultimately, my goal is to make the most of every fucking minute on the planet. And I'm not willing to make that many sacrifices to live longer, right? I would rather live every minute to the maximum than I would live a few extra minutes, because I'm sacrificing some things that I'd like to do or some experiences that I'd like to go and do, whether it's, you know, jumping out of a plane or flying a fighter jet or, you know, doing something interesting, I find interesting. So yeah, mine would be like, I think that there's this phrase, I can't remember who it was, but it's an American poet, I think. Our job is to live our lives so well that death will tremble to take us. And that I like when
it.
I die, whatever age I die at, whether it's in a couple of years or hopefully in 30 or 40 years, I hope people say, yeah, Alex made the most of every minute of his life.
I love it. Minutes and moments in dis-ease will keep you at ease, inspired with intellect, intuition, and a lot of energy. These two gentlemen are living their lives to the fullest. As my friend Chris Gardner, who wrote the book Pursuit of Happiness, said, it is not the pursuit of happiness, but happiness is the pursuit. Thank you so much, Matt, Alex, for joining me. Remember, everyone, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.